Yeah, I mean, the research has found that there's a limitation to the amount of happiness money can bring, but it doesn't mean that it's not important at all, right? Money brings options of things that you could do to hopefully lead you on the path to finding something that can make you happy. Yeah, but I think there are many other factors as well. You know, you talked about purpose earlier and having a purpose in life, relationships, having people to spend that money with. It's also a really huge important factor, right? And I found that, you know, when I have many relatives who are retired, and the thing that really gives them purpose and joy is finding something they're passionate about.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. Anne will also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Hi, welcome back to the Retired Well, Retire Happy show with your host, Anne Nelson. And this is a continuation of an interview with Cheyenne Yeo from Singapore, part two. Cheyenne is an educator and has a master's in applied positive psychology, and she's all about being happy. Cheyenne believes that we come into this world as a baby and as a child, our natural state is being happy. But then as we go to school and to work, we seem to unlearn this natural right, this natural state of being happy, as other expectations come into play. So our life gets in the way. So how do we get back to being happy?
Do you think with happiness, it's an interesting topic because I started off, I wrote a book called Retire Well, Retire Happy. And we found, we start our retirement journey thinking, you know, it's all about the money. And if we've got enough money, we're going to have a happy retired life. But after a bit of research, it turns out, well, that's not necessarily true. You can have as, you may have a lot of money, but it doesn't guarantee you're going to be happy, does it?
Yeah, I mean, the research has found that there's a limitation to the amount of happiness money can bring, but it doesn't mean that it's not important at all, right? Money brings options of things that you could do to hopefully lead you on the path to finding something that can make you happy. Yeah, but I think there are many other factors as well. You know, you talked about purpose earlier and having a purpose in life, relationships, having people to spend that money with. It's also a really huge important factor, right? And I found that, you know, when I have many relatives who are retired, and the thing that really gives them purpose and joy is finding something they're passionate about.
Yes, having a purpose is very important.
Yes.
And finding that purpose is could be the next challenge for a lot of people, but happiness is, I believe, everyone's right to be happiness. It's a natural state, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think that when you look at a child, when they're born and as they grow up, they're all so joyful and so happy. And somehow along the way, as we go through school, as we go through work, we unlearn that natural state of being happy, right? Because there's so many other things that come into play, you know, certain expectations, the, you know, going to work and wondering why you're working, having a boss that doesn't treat you well may start to make you feel cynical that happiness is our birthright. And it's funny, you know, and I've worked with so many people across all ages, and something that I've seen in many adults is that they don't think that it's something they deserve or it's something that they can choose. Which makes me really sad.
Well, it sounds crazy because I'm sure we weren't put on this earth to be miserable, that's for sure.
Yeah, but I guess it also brings the point that, you know, being unhappy and having negative emotions has its role to play, just like struggling through certain parts of your life has its role to play, you know. And I think it brings to the balance the happiness that many people consider fluffy, a fluffy concept, you know, or Pollyanna-ish. And, you know, I think it's learning to embrace everything that comes to you, but making a choice for happiness in your life is something that we all can do.
Yeah. I've heard some famous motivators say, like Bob Proctor say, that when we try something and we fail, we're not failures. We're only failures if we stop trying. And and I think any venture that we take on in life, that it's a learning process, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think that you know, failure, it has been put to us, I don't know, by society expectations or whatever it is, that it's the full stop. And, you know, as we watch a young child learning to walk, they fail multiple times. Even as they become confident to walk, they fall and knock their heads. And they don't stop to say, well, I'm just going to sit here and don't learn to walk for the rest of my life. Mm. It's a natural instinct to get up and try again. And at that stage, we are very forgiving of failure because we know that they're just learning. You know, and if we can adopt that attitude, right, for the rest of our life, we are just learning. We are constantly learning. And if we fail, yeah, we feel miserable for a while. But then maybe we can, you know, try to pick ourselves up and just maybe even just sit up, stand up.
Well, I believe that happiness is our natural state and our goal, and we shouldn't never give up trying.
Yes, definitely.
So
we should always be looking for it.
Yeah. So how do you work with people? How do you get your message across?
Well, there are many platforms, and for me, I'm passionate about education. You know, I've been very blessed to receive very good education here in Singapore and how much it has helped me as a person. And so the way in which I work with people is that I do a lot of training and speaking to school communities, school leaders, teachers, parents of the children. And I share with them about positive psychology. How is it they can raise their child in a way that helps them to flourish and not just survive. So yeah, teaching the concepts, you know, like mindfulness, gratitude, resilience and optimism, and really equipping the adults in the children's life with the necessary skills so that they can, you know, create a wonderful environment at home or in school, impart the skills to their children, and, you know, hopefully support the next generation. You know, that's kind of my big, big goal.
Well, it sounds an absolutely marvelous goal, and you work both with educators and children, I see.
Yes, mainly with the educators and the parents and the school administration, and sometimes occasionally I work with the children, you know. In my time as a teacher, I found that working directly with the children with no follow-through sometimes is not effective. But when the teacher or the parent who's in their life so much is the one equipped with the skills and who knows them so well, that really makes a huge difference in the children's life than somebody who's external.
Well, they're going to have a great life with that platform to start their journey on, to have educators that are aware of these principles and can pass that on and influence someone from a young age. It'll make a huge difference to them later on.
Yes, I really believe that the earlier they learn it, then they have more chance to try it and practice it, you know.
I spoke to a chap, Pete Jensen. I don't know if you know of him. He's a happiness facilitator, and he wrote a book about lessons from the third world. He had missionary parents that worked in Africa, and he grew up as a young child living in a missionary, and he noticed that from people with less seem to be happier than people in the West. And he posed the question, how come the West is so depressed? Yeah, I found it really, really fascinating and interesting that people that have less can be happy. so happy. And I think it came back to purpose.
Mm.
They all had a role to play.
Definitely, yes. And they're surrounded by a community, again, back to relationships. And, you know, when you have a lot of material possessions, I think we tend to, or even things like status and power, you know, we tend to attach our worth to external things. And when we do that, when that goes away, then we find that our worth now doesn't have any meaning, right? Because it's all externally associated. So money, status, power, things like that. And the more we attach ourselves to those things, thinking that that is what our identity is, thinking that those are the things, the only things that bring us happiness, then we can get very unhappy when all of that is taken away from us, right?
Yes. Yeah. So going forward, what can we do? Do you think it's something that we need to be doing like on a daily basis? What can we do that can help anyone that is stuck or anyone that wants to go down this positive path? What some tips that they could do and practice?
One of the things that's really helpful for me is just being appreciative of the things that happen in your life, whether good or bad. And, you know, being able to even recognize those as things you can be appreciative of. You know, as I've mentioned earlier, you know, as we spoke, we are so prone to thinking that bad things are bad things that happen to us, but really it's the lens that we can wear that makes a huge difference. So to me, that has been the most important shift, just being appreciative, being grateful. The other thing that I think really helps is being present and being mindful. You know, John Kabat-Zinn, who is the founder of, you know, mindfulness-based stress reduction, defines mindfulness as just being present to what we're thinking, how we're feeling, without any judgment. And I think judgment sometimes is the cause of a lot of misery. You know, we judge ourselves for some of the things that we do, even though we had a reason for doing so, but we become very judgmental and we berate ourselves for taking certain actions in our life. Or we judge the things that people say to us, do to us. Or even sometimes a car just cuts your lane and we judge them even though we do not know them at all. And those are the things that, you know, create a lot of negativity in our life because of judgment. And I think that has been a difficult journey for me, trying to move away from judgment and just being present and be an observer. But I think it's one of the most important things that we can do. And you don't need any tools in your life except yourself and your breath, and you know. So I mean, being grateful, being mindful. I guess the last one is, you know, just being authentic. Sometimes we hide behind a lot of masks, thinking we want people to perceive us in a certain way because we're so scared about showing who we are. And I found that, you know, if we can be comfortable in our skin, show who we are with no excuses, without having to say sorry, then whether we're at home or we are out there or we are on the stage, we are who we are. And it's just such a relaxing state to be in. It's such a freeing state to be in, you know, when you don't have to put on any masks.
That sounds absolutely fascinating. It sounds as though it's something that you have to practice.
Yeah, and whoever's watching this, I would recommend just starting slowly, a little bit every day. You know, if you can't find so many things to be grateful for, maybe start with something simple, you know. I woke up today. I'm alive. You know? Or I opened my eyes and I saw color, you know, or even just mindfulness. Just when you're angry, just be aware that you're angry instead of going the next step and saying, why did that person do this to me? And if you just do a little bit every day with time, just like a muscle, you train it, it gets stronger.
Yeah, I know there's many challenges that we face and they change as, or experiences, and they change as we age. I know my mum now has low vision and I find she's facing different challenges, and I keep saying to her, well, big try and concentrate on what you can do and not so much on what you can't do, because I've said everyone has things that they can't do anymore, what they used to be able to do when they were younger.
Yes, and it sounds like, you know, she's grieving the loss of her vision.
It's been a real pleasure to hear about happiness and being positive and how it can make a difference to all of our lives. We've been listening to Shane Yeo from Singapore, the founder of Positive Education. And Shane, would you like to summarise your take on happiness and things that we can do in our daily lives that can make a difference going forward?
Well, I think the biggest summary I would say is that happiness is a choice. And we can all choose it if we want it. And how do you do that? I think the first thing you can do is to, you know, be grateful about things that happen to you, both good and bad. The good things are pleasurable and we can savor them. The bad things that happen to us, we're grateful for the lesson that it's taught us and we become stronger for it. You know, the second thing is to just be aware and be mindful. When someone says something that's not nice about you or hurtful to you, instead of going into why and reacting and feeling sorry for yourself, just acknowledge that somebody has said something that's not pleasant. And just be in touch with how you feel in the moment. Create a little space, in other words, for yourself. And then from then on with that space, then you can choose, hey, now that I recognize it, you know, now that I may not be 100% sure why the person has said it to me, how do I want to respond? And so you are giving yourself agency to choose to respond to an upsetting situation. In that way, you're managing your negativity rather than being pulled along by it and getting lost in that mess of negative emotions. Yeah, so I mean, I think just having these two points would make a significant improvement, you know. And the last one is spend time with the people that matter to you. Get curious about who they are. Even if it's your spouse whom you see every day, you might think, nah, there's nothing new I want to know about him or her. You know, but maybe it just boils down to what question you can ask. What was something great that happened in the office today? What is something new you learned today? You know, who have you helped today? You know, asking a different question can bring out a different angle in the person. You get to know them and love them so much more.
That sounds absolutely wonderful. And I was also impressed with your talk when you spoke earlier about visualization and how that has made a difference. And yeah, it's a tool that can be used for achieving nearly anything that you're trying to do.
Yeah, so, you know, on visualization, spend time to visualize what is it you want to have in your life. It may not even be like, I want to have something or I want to do something. It could just be, who is it you want to be? And allow the emotions to come along with it. So you've got to do it for, you know, maybe 30 seconds at least, instead of just 5 seconds, oh, I want to be this, and then you get out of it. But, you know, really allow the emotions to come and feel excited about what you're visualizing. And then after that, when you come out of it, have a little notebook around so you can write down, hey, I want to do this, is my next step. I want to do this, is my next step. Allow it to motivate you. Yeah.
Well, thank you. It's been very encouraging and interesting, and I'm going to employ some of what you spoke into my daily life. If people wanted to find out more about you or make contact with you, where would they go?
Mm-hmm. They could go to my website, www.positiveedu.com, or they can email me at shaen@positiveedu.com.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.